This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk, the world today.
Dumisani Sibanda is on the line. Dumisani, my goodness, we need a PhD in tech to get through to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Dumisani, so tell us, what are these gold coins and what purpose are they serving in the financial system?
The gold coins were introduced by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe to mop our way, to mop excess liquidity in the market. I think over time we have seen an increase in the amount of local dollars that are available, and the excess local currency was being converted into US dollars, driving the exchange rate upward. And this is what has been attributed to the collapse of the local currency, excess local dollars or domestic currency. And the gold coin has been a creation to try and money that goes into the US dollar. So the impression that the policymaker has got is that the local currency is not a medium of store of value. So the policy is meant to create a vehicle.
If you could just remind us. If you could just remind us, Dumisani, we know that in the worst of years, when Zimbabwe suffered that crisis of hyperinflation, the local Zimbabwean dollar was abandoned and then replaced with the actual US dollar as legal tender. And then there've been all sorts of other attempts to sort of try to reintroduce a national currency parallel to the dollar, and now we get to this point. So where do we stand right now? What money do people use when they're in Zimbabwe, and what's the value of that money?
It's a multi-currency system, you know, where people have the option to use the US dollar, rand, pula, or the domestic currency. Whatever money has become available to a citizen, that's the money that they use, and it's used anywhere. There's no restriction except some places, you know, like products, maybe sort of fuel is only available in foreign currency.
Okay.
Gas is only available in foreign currency, and there are some traders who may resist, you know, being paid in local currency. Passport also is paid for in foreign currency. So it's a whole mix of transactions, you know, where the US dollar is exclusively used, or foreign currency is exclusively used, and the supermarkets and the general economy, where, you know, business people are supposed to accept any currency that is presented to them.
Okay, so how is monetary policy set in a multi-currency system? Because obviously the US dollar its value is set by the international market, but it is protected by the US Federal Reserve. The rand is protected by the South African Reserve Bank, and similarly with the pula in Zimbabwe. So who's actually helping to buffer this economy against rising prices and inflation when it's central banks in other parts of the world determining, as it were, the value, the strength, and the defense of their own currencies?
Yeah, I think what has been missing, obviously, is mechanism to manage the crash of the local currency. You know, normally in a reserve bank or a central bank, we'll use the management of money supply costs and the interest rates to manage, you know, its value, the value of its domestic currency. But in our case here, what we see is that there's been exponential growth in terms of money supply. When you follow the amount of domestic currency that is in circulation, what they call M1, you find that there's been a phenomenal growth. You know, when just before dollarization or re-dollarization, so to speak, or reintroduction of multi-currency, Remember that there's a time when, you know, the multi-currency system was banned and then we reverted to it. In 2018, December 2018, the amount of domestic currency in circulation, what is called here RTGS dollars, was 8.6 billion. And today we are sitting at $1 trillion. 100-fold growth.
Right.
So that is what has been leading to the crash of the local currency, excess printing of money electronically. So it's the creation of local dollars that has led to the crash of the domestic currency. So normally what you would expect a central bank to do in its monetary policy is to restrict the amount of money that is printed and also use the interest rate regime to manage money that is created by banks through their lending. So here what we have seen is a phenomenal growth in the amount of money, domestic currency, that is circulating in the currency. And obviously the natural thing to happen is that the domestic currency must lose value.
Okay. So there's also now the issue of, it's not an issue, I think it's quite impressive that Zimbabwe apparently has sort of been on a growth and recovery path. And in 2021, the World Bank says that, you know, inflation had started to decline, even though the figures are still high, but started to decline. Agriculture was in a form of revival, that poor people were being helped through some kind of a COVID grant. And as a result, extreme poverty in the country had started to come down. So obviously, this Russia-Ukraine situation has, you know, complicated matters, has led to a regression. But in general, if you take out the Russia crisis, what is the state of affairs in Zimbabwe's economy? Is it on a recovery path?
I don't know what is called recovery. I mean, recovery that does not impact on welfare of citizens cannot be called recovery. Because then what we are seeing is that poverty in the country, you know, poverty is divided into extreme poverty or just poverty. It has been increasing so much. You know, the figures are that prior to 2016, extreme poverty numbers were about 4.5 million people, and today are sitting at about 7.9 million. So what we are seeing is increase in terms of extreme poverty. The growth that is being spoken of is growth that is not impacting on the general citizen. There's been an improvement, in the 2019-21 season in terms of agriculture, and there's been an increase in, in terms of mining performance. So what we are seeing is an increase in exports. There's been an increase in terms of foreign currency inflows into the economy. But the people who are benefiting from those improvements are very limited in terms of the general economy.
Right.
So the growth is that is called recovery. That was the, it's disputed in terms of whether it is real. Because the private sector is crashing, citizens are becoming poorer, and so on. So you ask yourself and say, if there is economic recovery, that economic recovery, is it real?
So I guess
that's the question that lingers on most minds. To say, those who measure these figures, are they genuinely reflecting what's happening on the ground? Because we're not feeling it.
Yeah, and I think this is where people say, you know, there's the real economy, and there's the high finance economy, where you look at inflows, you look at reserves being built, but if it doesn't have a material impact on people's lives, then yes, it's a GDP improvement statistically, but it doesn't mean anybody's life is improving materially. Okay, so who can afford these gold coins? And for them, is it going to help at least keep their businesses afloat and give them access to money to bring in much needed imports?
I think when you look at the introduction of the gold coin, it was just one gold coin, which was valued at 1,805 about US dollars or 805,000 local dollars.
Yeah.
And you look at the number of depositors who have a figure close to a million. It's not very many. You know, I think from the statistics, there's a time, I think the last time I closely looked at the numbers of the deposits in the bank, most of that money, over 90% of that money belongs to less than 1% of depositors. So which means that the people who have the actual money, who can afford the gold coin, is limited. It's, you would say it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
Because it is only now that they've come up with, you know, other denominators of the gold coin. But even then, who would have excess money to be able to put money into those gold coins? I think it will still be the few.
Yeah.
So it's a policy that's going to help a few people. People can have money and they don't need access to it for 180 days, which is about half a year. There are not many who can afford to have money stashed for that long, except those who have made superfluous profits in whatever business they are.
Dumisani Sibanda, we're glad we could get a hold of you eventually, and thank you for just telling us a little bit about this new gold coin or the usage of gold coins as a new monetary standard. Certainly, it's not going to have a material impact on those who are feeling the full brunt of inflation, which last year had declined from 280% to 60%. But this year, post the Ukraine-Russia crisis, inflation gone from 80% back to 200%. So it is a seesaw of monetary problems and crises and monetary policy management in Zimbabwe. And so now the issue is, let's get some gold coins into the system.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.